There will be great earthquakes, famines, famine in Somalia, and even here, the NHS still overwhelmed with the backlog of a pandemic. So is there any good news? Who's in charge? Is there anyone at the helm?
And can anyone hear me? Well, I just gave you all the bad news there. About wars and earthquakes and famines and pandemics. And I was just saying that on the news on Wednesday night, we actually had all four on one news bulletin. So who's in charge? Is there anyone at the helm? Well, yes, there certainly is. There's good news. The same one who had the wisdom to predict all of this also has the love to warn us and the power to save us. So today's simple talk, little short sermon today, is all about the wisdom, the love, and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't stay a child for long, but that is where his ministry began. And it will end with the government being on his shoulders. The good news starts with Christmas, when the Prince of Peace was born. So here's a question then for you. What was Christmas for? Now, you might imagine it's for eating turkey and giving each other presents. That's not what actually the Bible teaches. That's the way we celebrate it. But what was Christmas for? And the Bible is very clear. Christmas was for two reasons: to give glory to God in the highest and peace to men on earth. The angels sang a wonderful anthem announcing Christmas and telling us what it was for. It was for glory to God in the highest and for peace to men on earth. I've spent quite a lot of my working life in the offshore industry, and so I've had my fair share of stormy seas. And one of the things that has given me great comfort is that although I've not always had calm seas, I've nearly always worked with calm captains. And it's amazing the difference that that makes. One of the things that gives you greatest peace in stormy times is if we have confidence in the one who's in charge. You're going to get a mention today, Martin. Martin and I had to take a boat one time from Stromness in Orkney to Ullapool. Now, Martin's actually a very experienced mariner, but he hadn't taken a boat round the Cape Wrath before. And, well, as we set off from Stromness, we knew we might have a problem because the wind was against us. And the Pentland Firth is no picnic, but it's nothing compared to Cape Wrath. And by the time we got to Cape Wrath, well, we'd just timed it a bit wrong. I say we, me, had timed it a bit wrong. And we got to the Cape in a running tide. It was pretty wild. Cape Wrath is no picnic spot. And Martin paid me a great compliment. He said, "I looked at you, and if you didn't look worried, I wasn't worried." Do you know what that tells you? It tells you I'm very good at not looking worried. Now I tell you. Cape Wrath over the years has been wonderful for my prayer life. And so we landed safely in Ullapool. But what if you had a fearless captain at the helm? What if you had one who had infinite resources, had infinite capability, infinite navigation skills? Well, then you would completely relax. Well, we have a captain like that. And he's called the Prince of Peace. He's not just another great leader. He's the all-surpassing leader, never worried, never lost, never at the end of his resources of wisdom, love, and power. I've been watching on the telly a program that I'm a little bit addicted to called The Trollerman. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but The Trollerman is actually about Peterhead fishermen. And now they really are the tough guys. And one of them, George Jack, is a Christian. And when all the other sailors are heading south to go back to Aberdeen because there's a Force 9 coming through, George is on his way north up to the fishing fields off Shetland. And he said something very interesting to camera. He said, "It's easy to hold your nerve when you believe that God is with you." And they left it in. In today's broadcasting, they left it in, George saying, "It's easy to hold your nerve when you believe that God is with you." Now, I'm going to say something very obvious at this point. A good captain doesn't control the storm, he controls the ship. Let me just say that again, because this is important that we understand this. A good captain doesn't control the storm, he controls the ship. It's not the captain's job to make the storm go away, but to navigate you safely through it. And Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble, but fear not, I have overcome the world." Now, I know there's a lovely episode in Mark chapter 4 where a storm blows up and the disciples are panicking and they turn to Jesus and say, "Master, do you not care if we perish?" And Jesus, who's asleep in the boat, stands up and says, "Peace be still," and he calms the storm. But I think that was there to just show his authority, that he really was the mighty God, and that he really was the Prince of Peace, so that they would know that this was the one that was to come. But only once in Scripture does Jesus calm the storm. More often, he calms the disciples. And it's important for us to understand that he doesn't necessarily always say to the sea, "Peace be still," but he does always say to us, "Peace be still." He doesn't necessarily deliver from the fiery furnace, but he'll walk through it with you and navigate you safely through to the other side. In fact, the Bible's very clear that we should expect challenges along the way if we're true believers in the Lord Jesus. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace into which we stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. There's an expectation then that if we're true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to face some storms. But what this passage tells us is that Christian maturity is developed by the storms that we survive, not the storms that we avoid. We must remember that when our stomachs are churning with anxiety, God isn't worried. He knows these waters well. He allowed this, he expected this, and he's planned for this. And he says, "I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So let's understand this then. It's not peace from the storm, it's peace through the storm. And that's a different experience and one that we must expect. And we rest assured in his wisdom, his love, and his power. The great hymn writer Isaac Watts wrote a wonderful description of our Savior, the Prince of Peace. He said this: "Join all the glorious names of wisdom, love, and power that ever mortals knew, that angels ever bore. All are too poor to speak his worth, too poor to set my Savior forth." So what does our memory verse tell us about God's wisdom, love, and power? When you have access to infinite wisdom, you'll have the best possible advice, won't you? Well, Jesus is the wonderful counselor. When you're loved with infinite love, you'll never be alone on the journey. Jesus is the everlasting Father. And when you have access to infinite power, nothing need ever overwhelm you. Jesus is the mighty God. The Bible tells us frequently of his wisdom and his love and his power. The wonderful counselor says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, says the Lord. And then the everlasting Father says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love towards those that fear him. And the mighty God says, cast your eye to the heavens, who created of all of these? There's no limit to the wonderful counselor, the everlasting Father, or the mighty God. What about you? Let's make this personal. Do you know what it is to be loved by God? Nikki told us, on the cross, the Lord Jesus died for our wrongdoing so that he offers us not just forgiveness, but a permanent, inseparable relationship with God himself. And that's what brings us our peace. We all love to hear the football crowds singing the great football anthem, walk on through the storm with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. And it's true, right up until they miss a penalty. Then they're on their own again. The message of Christmas is that God is in charge, and all his wisdom, love, and power are available to us so that we can walk on through the storm with absolute certainty in our hearts, and we truly will never walk alone. One last question. Will there ever be peace on the earth on a global scale? Because as you watch TV, you could get really nervous. You could get genuinely frightened for the future. Micah was a Jewish prophet, same time as Isaiah. And he said many of the same things as Isaiah. But he wrote in chapter 4 something wonderful about a time that hasn't happened yet. Listen to what Micah says. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and people will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples, and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. What a wonderful promise in the Old Testament. So who is this great king that's one day going to rule the nations and enforce peace on the earth? Well, a little prophecy goes on to say this. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. Yes, we do live in a time of famine, wars, earthquakes, and pandemics, but God himself has brought us the solution in Jesus. Who's in charge? Ultimately, the baby in the manger is in charge. He's the one that's going to bring glory to God in the highest and peace to men on earth. Will it really happen? Is this just a bit of wishful thinking on behalf of over-optimistic Christians that Jesus will one day reign forever and ever? That Bethlehem promise that was made 700 years before Jesus was born, people got impatient waiting for the Messiah to come. Another century went by, still no Messiah. Another century went by, still no Messiah. And then one day, one night, some shepherds were out on the hills of Bethlehem and the sky lit up and angels announced Messiah had been born. The impact was so great that to this day we date our time from when the baby arrived. It's going to be 2023 in another month. That's not 2023 New Year's. It's 2023 Christmases. The impact has been colossal, and it really, really happened. And one day Jesus will return to be in charge of the world. Why not let him be in charge of your life now? And then you'll know his peace in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. Let's pray. Lord, with all the trouble that's going on in our world, it's wonderful for us to be celebrating Christmas again, reminding ourselves that the rescuer came. They called his name Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. Help us, Lord, to open up our hearts, to find room for the baby in the manger in our lives, that you might be our Prince of Peace. In Jesus' name, amen.